Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys with us this week. We are going to be running solo, not solo alone, but solo Ava and I will be together. Good to see you, Ava.
Good to see you, too. Are you ever really alone, though?
Never alone.
Didn't think whatever.
So. Something like that. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We're going to be talking a little bit about invasive carp. Some interesting things came out of that recently that pulled out of a body of water not far from everybody. Also a story I think you're all going to want to stick around. Towards the end of the show, we're going to be talking about an official word on how long to fry fish. Stay tuned for more Valley Outdoors right after this. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Well, it is good to see you, Ava.
It's good to see you, too. We're missing a friendly face again this week, but, you know, duty calls for those that are more important than you and I.
I sometimes just kind of wonder, that's all.
Wouldn't it be
Who's
nice?
Who's priority?
Wouldn't it be nice? No. It would not be nice.
No. So you and I are talking off air, and trail cams have always been a topic of conversation, and you have not told me what you saw on a trail cam, but it intrigued me. So spill it. This is the first time I'm hearing this. I have not heard this before.
Well, this is
honest reaction coming up. Stay tuned. Wait for
this
it.
This just transpired like 2 days ago. And earlier, remember how I mentioned that on trail cam, we got a deer with an arrow sticking out its side. Well, I'm going to get a copy of that photo. I'm going to get that to you so you can put that up
on have proof.
Our on website and Facebook.
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Mm-hmm. But we had a feline decide to show up on our trail cam.
Bobcat?
Yes, sir.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and Dustin's been putting in time. He is now muzzle loading. And he's like, I think that bobcat's back because...
You could use that for terminology for Thanksgiving as well.
What, muzzle loading?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Filling your muzzle with food.
Yeah.
See?
He thought that the bobcat might have been back because no squirrels were on the ground.
Well,
he's I think that thing is around.
Okay, so I wouldn't mind that. I think we've all experienced the... Nothing, no sound for a while, and all of a sudden you hear this. It's got to be a deer. It has to be a deer. It's behind
me. Makes your heart stop.
And
yeah.
How do I get my bow turned around to get a shot? And it's a stupid gray squirrel. So maybe that's not such a bad thing, except, yeah, maybe there's also other animals. Ungulates. I'll be like that, huh? Ungulates?
Yeah.
That don't like to hang around either.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be a little bit spooked.
Well, even though it's a small predator, it's a predator. So, you know, even bigger prey.
And they don't travel
prey.
In packs. Those are more individual, but yeah. They're not necessarily going to go in that realm. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a really good photo of it, too. Like, All it's right, looking that, at the camera and everything.
We will have that posted on the valleyoutdoors.com.
Yes.
That will be there. We'll probably put it on Facebook, too, so check the Facebook site out. That along with those earrings, I got to get those things up there.
I sent that to you. You took that photo.
I took the photo. I got to get those pictures up there.
You have a lot to catch up on.
No, I don't. I don't have that much. Other than, well, this weekend, went out and did some skiing this weekend for the first time of the year. All I can say is when you get done skiing 2 days back to back all day, and you go to sleep, and you wake up the next morning wondering what car hit you.
Yeah. Because that was the first thing I asked you when you said I went skiing this weekend.
Sore.
I'm like, you sore?
Well, it's like, weird. Oh, yeah. And it's not like I can't walk type sore. It's just one of those things where you've got now have muscles that you didn't know you had places. And it's like, oh, all right. That feels good. Getting back into it. So that's not a bad thing.
Do you stretch before you ski?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you stretch long enough, though?
10 minutes.
Okay. See, I never stretch long enough. I
do a 10 minutes. 10 minutes of stretch. The problem is that when you're going into it, you drove an hour and a half, and then you go back out into the cold. It's more like you need to warm up before you stretch, which is a key, and that's normally what I. Yeah, it doesn't help. So, speaking of stretch, this is not a stretch. This is something that has been going on for a little bit now. Jesse Diggins, local sweetheart from Afton. Her mom and dad had a business in Red Wing, so local contact. We've had her on the show before, Skyped her before she went in the Olympics. She took cross-country skiing World Cup lead with a dominant win this last weekend. Grabbed the cross-country skiing World Cup lead. Dominant 10K freestyle victory by 23 seconds, which is ginormous. That's huge. She's had every color of medal in the Olympics, and it was an interval start race where the temperatures were in the single digits, and Sweden's Anderson was runner-up. Last February, she took the 10K free in the World Championship, become the first-ever cross-country skier to win an individual world title. At that point, Anderson was in third. Another Swede would be ended up in the silver medalist position. Diggins owns 15 FIS World Cup wins now. It's the most U.S. cross-country skiing medals in history or wins in history. Of those, 8 were the 10-kilometer free race and her largest margin of victory of the 8. Is that pretty cool or what?
Yeah, she's pretty impressive. Makes you feel bad about yourself, but it's all right.
She's in the lead for the World Cup title, and that's the biggest annual prize in the sport, combining results from the entire season. After 4 races, which lasts into March, she and co-countrywoman Rosie Brennan are 1-2 in the standings. That's awesome. It's never happened before. So I looked a little bit more into it. Believe it or not, if you do want to watch Jesse and the U.S. team.
Yeah.
Minnesota Jesse Diggins announces the 2024 Lopet tickets. They're going to be available. It's going to be at Theater Worth Park, February 17th through the 19th. You can buy tickets if you want to be in a bleachers or at standing room only. General admission, you have to have a ticket to get in. It's free. But if you want a bleachers, it's $75 per ticket, $35 for kids. And there's VIP spectator experience packages that are about $500. It's going to be cool. It's in Minneapolis. How can you not? It's the first time in 20 years the World Cup cross country has been in the United States and first time in Minnesota. So absolutely cool event. Sign up.
Yeah, what a great opportunity.
Yeah, get online, order some tickets. And we are going to be right back with more Valley Outdoors right after this. Welcome back, everybody. We always like to have you check us out on Facebook and where else, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Where you can find all of the information in the outdoors you want to even consider participating in, along with other links to people we've had on the show. If there's been products we've had on the show, you can check that out there as well.
Previous shows?
Yeah. Previous shows are there. Yep. Absolutely.
Like all of them?
All of them. With a title.
You can listen until
you're blue in the face.
Until 2024, start right now.
You can probably listen.
And probably longer.
A lot longer. I think it's
half-hour shows.
Is this nine years? I think it's 9 years.
Jeepers.
That's a little spooky.
You know, and I like that I've been here for 7 of those.
Yeah, otherwise it was Mark.
Mark O'Connor.
Was the other one that was here. Yeah, that was fun.
Mark's had 2 babies in that time frame. He has gotten married and had two babies.
That's crazy.
Me too.
See?
Look at that.
It's a producer thing, I guess. Wow. This is the first time we brought that out. You know, it's those things that come out when you least expect it.
Yep. They sure do.
Speaking of the things that when you least expect it coming out, Minnesota and Wisconsin DNR have captured 323 invasive carp in the Mississippi River. And that was down in the Trumpelo Pool, which is down in Pool 6. 296 silver carp, 23 grass carp, and 4 bighead carp. It's the largest single capture of invasive carp that has occurred in Minnesota to date. This was made possible by tracking tagged invasive carp, which led to agency staff and contracted commercial fishermen to net them for removal. Tagging and tracking the invasive carp by the DNR and its partners is working and leading to a successful removal of the fish in Minnesota, said invasive carp coordinator Grace Lopinow. The Wisconsin DNR crews located 6 tagged invasive carp in Pool 6 last week. Those detections, along with observations by our contracted commercial fishermen, led to the successful removal. And
successful?
Successful. You like that?
Successful.
Yeah, successful.
I know what you meant.
Yeah. I'm just concentrating on the story I'm not even thinking about what I'm saying, but that's okay. DNR crews will follow up with additional netting at the location over the next week. So what they do is they tag them. The fish go in and hang out with the herd because they are basically a major schooling fish. They hang out together and literally devastate any area where there's...
Isn't it better that they school, though? So if you find them, that you can remove
absolutely.
Them?
Yeah. That's what that's how they found this large a group. Increased reports of invasive carp and data from tagged fish indicate that the fish were moving in the Mississippi River in spring of 2023 during the extended springtime flooding. It's likely that the high water conditions allowed invasive carp and other species to move upstream past open dams, which is very not
cool.
Good. They tend to congregate in the spring and fall, and all the previous large captures have happened in these seasons. Previous largest capture of the invasive carp was 51 of them in spring of 2020 in similar conditions that had an extended period of flooding prior to that. Other things that they're doing as well, they're using floating gill nets to entangle jumping carp. Speakers attached to the buoys to help direct carp movement through the sound, and remotely operated kayaks that can be used for surveys and herding fish. That's funny. Why use a kayak? Why not use something else? Something less big.
I don't know.
You know?
Call them up and ask.
I should. I'm probably going to do that. Technologies are being tested and adapted for more extensive use. The DNR partner agencies and organizations have been testing and implementing a wide range of invasive carp prevention technologies for more than a decade, and they have been doing that a lot. The big one is the speakers. They are sound sensitive, and that's a big deal. So, yeah.
It's so weird how sound does it. You know what I mean?
Well, have you ever seen somebody drive through that? Through a large group of invasive carp. They jump out of the water, and that's when they can do...
Oh, yeah.
They do all the netting, and they put, you know, guys go on water skis with hockey helmets, and they go net.
Oh, my gosh.
Then the other one they do, they drive through it with shotguns and shoot them.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. All different kinds of fun and games with that.
Apparently so.
Speaking of unique things, I keep bringing it up, but I can't help it. I'm hoping somebody will do something with the flag designs for the state of Minnesota.
Okay,
they're not getting any better. The last one that's kind of at the forefront is from Texas, and I think it's so bad.
From
Texas?
Again,
it's just a star with a curvy line on the bottom. I don't know if it's supposed to be water or a river or something. It's horrible. Somebody please come up with a little more detail on something showing you know, boating, fishing, hunting. You know, maybe they'll have to say the hunting's out. But you know what? Come up with something, really, right? Am I wrong?
You want an out. Why don't you hand in?
I am not an artiste. My art is on
the hill
and skiing, making shapes in the snow, and that's my gig.
Okay.
That's the only.
Well, I'm happy to hear that you are qualified for the flag.
You know, with friends, you guys, if you only knew, I have to deal with all the time. It's just sad. It's a sad state of affairs.
Oh, well, sometimes Eric Olson just needs reality here.
I am talking reality. I don't mind getting on a soapbox occasionally, as you know, right,
yes.
Ava? I don't mind doing it. And now is one of those times. We have the ability and the voice to right. motivate some people to do something that would be tremendous for the state. Hey, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota, Michigan, you guys, help us out. Apparently, the state of Minnesota needs all the help in the world right now coming up with a design for the state flag. Please, I'm begging you guys, come up with something. Please, something, anything other than what we have right now. I think all of us would appreciate it.
Eric can stop talking about it.
Exactly.
That's the goal here.
I'll complain about it till we change it, and that's the way
it works.
Again,
another dose of
reality.
Speaking
of changing it, we're going to change into a different segment when we're back from these words. Hang tight.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
So, Ava, sorry I went on a rant before the break. But.
Well, and then during the break, he shows me the flag that he's all worked up about, and I don't mind it. I mean, he showed it to me, and I'm like, well, it makes sense. It's a snowflake.
Over the top of a...
North Star.
A gold.
Yeah, but we were the North Stars.
And then a blue... Yeah. And a blue background.
And a blue background.
Okay, I could have cut that out of a piece of paper.
I don't know.
The snowflake.
It's not that bad.
I think it should be some detail that highlights the state.
He wants more detail. He doesn't want boring. That's what I've gotten is that he wants like a crest. Okay?
I think that's cool. What things represent what Minnesota is.
Sure.
That's really what it is. And that only talks about Mother Nature in every single one of them. Water, which is the blue background, which doesn't remind me of... Anyway, I'm not going to go on. I apologize. I've already spent too much time on it. My apologies. So I'm moving on. Well, maybe for this week. report coming out of Wisconsin. You're going to want to hear this one, Ava. Are you paying attention to me?
I am.
Okay. Reports say 18% deer kill decline in Wisconsin this hunting season.
You know, it's been a rough year everywhere.
Significantly fewer deer were killed in the 9-day gun season this year than they did last year, according to preliminary data released this week by the State Department of Natural Resources. After kicking off a slow opening weekend, they had about 173,000 deer, and that was 17.6% decrease from 2022 and 11% below the state 5-year average. There were probably fewer deer in the landscape than there were last year at this time, said the DNR deer specialist in a news conference. The severe winter last year diminished populations in the northern forest and across the state. Last year's gun deer season in Wisconsin was above average thanks to snow cover that made deer stand out and lack of standing corn for them to hide. This year, hunters were met with warm temps and a lack of snow on opening weekend and called a total harvest of about 85,000 bucks and 88,000 antlerless deer on the low end of that five-year average, but not necessarily unprecedented. The decreased harvest comes despite negligible change in the number of hunters statewide. As of midnight Sunday, they'd sold about 550,000 licenses that permit hunters to kill a deer with a firearm, down only a fraction from 554. So 553 versus 554. Gun-related injuries during the season and opening weekend. I think we mentioned it a couple weeks ago. This guy shot himself in the foot while walking to the tree stand. Another one shot at a dog on private property he believed was a deer. The bullet hit the lady. And she's recovered. And then a hunter in Riblake shot a 30-year-old man in the thigh during a deer drive. None of the injuries are fatal, which is awesome. And
thank goodness.
Yeah. So that was a good thing. Last year, there were 8 gun-related injuries, so 4 of which were self-inflicted. You know, and it's not difficult to have that. I mean, it can happen, but if you are obviously aware of what's going on at all times with that firearm, that generally won't happen. So kind of a story we've touched base on a couple times in the last couple of weeks regarding deer, but just a real quick one. CWD is now detected in a buck that was shot in Wabasha.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? So it's all over the place. The nice part is Minnesota, we've got a lot of volunteer. People are submitting deer voluntarily to check for CWD, and a much tighter restriction on what is transported through the state from out of state, i.e. you can't bring, I think it's the heads can't come through and you have to check that, et cetera. But nonetheless, it's good to see that is going on, and hopefully not the CWD to see that, but the testing that's going on. And that's
yeah, it's
thing.
Good that so people are
hopefully Wisconsin
that
takes note from that and starts to do that. There was another detection in Jackson County, Wisconsin. I saw that as well this week. I didn't pull the story, but Wisconsin, I think, has got to start doing some mandatory testing. We got to keep an eye on what's going on with that. But so a story that I started out with, our near and dear to us food that is just love it, no matter where it is, walleye. Or just fried fish in general, whether mm-hmm. it's crappie or pike or whatever kind of fried fish, catfish, whatever kind of fish you like to fry. So I pulled the article. I thought it was rather interesting, unique, because we never talk about
safe handling of food.
No. Well, how long to fry it so that it's good? I mean, it's tasty.
That it's cooked.
Because it's always a question mark. Because it's always, everybody's thinking, well, no, that's not difficult. You do it till it's flaky. Well, do you or don't you? So I thought this is kind of a neat article. This one came out of Chef Matt Whitney. He comes from the Savannah Lodge in Lake Charles, Louisiana. He was in the Sowella Technical College with his traditional Cajun roots. He fries game and creates very creative presentations. He shared a handful of fish fry fundamentals that are important. Number one, the prep and the cleaning table. Some prefer neatly trimming from the dorsal downward and basically unzipping each fillet from the rib cage and the belly itself, while others just knock the sides off, cut out the ribs and innards, and on your way. If you catch more than you eat in one sitting, freezing fillets ensures future meals. The USDA says frozen fish or shellfish remain safe indefinitely, but for optimal flavor and texture, freeze-cooked fish for up to 3 months or raw fish for up to 8 months. That's the limit. Otherwise, you can get freezer burn if you've seen that.
Yeah.
That kind of a brownish color that gets on them. Cut that away and you should be fine. Freezing fillet in water definitely eliminates those air pockets where crystals form. But once thawed, you may find waterlogged fish may take on a soggy texture, not necessarily inedible, but this can affect frying efficiency and overall presentation. Best bet is to invest in a vacuum sealer. Options range from countertop models to handy. And I'm going to get one of those. I'm going to treat myself.
They're not that expensive, I don't think.
They're not.
No.
No, I'm going to invest in one of those for my Christmas this year. And
that's your to me from me?
Yep, to me from me, from Santa. Mm-hmm. Ho, ho, ho. How long to fry fish? This is the key piece. Pretty straightforward. Drop the fish in a hot oil until it's crispy. However, details matter. Oil choice. This is a big one. Selecting fry oil, neutral flavor, affordability, and a high smoke point. You want to have high temperature, but make sure it doesn't smoke. The latter refers to the point in which oil starts to burn, which leaves your fish with a bitter taste. So if it smokes, it's going to change the taste. Create kitchen hazards as well as other pieces and parts. You want to be at about 400 degrees in that oil. Peanut oil is ideal, and you have to consider allergies with that one as well.
Right.
If people do have a peanut allergy. Thermometer, look for 350 at least. Try to keep it under 400. Outer layer, obviously you want to make sure you have the fish breading. You can do a wet batter or a dry, either one, with an egg wash, and that works as well. When is it done? He said he uses an old school method. If it's floating, it's done. If you have enough oil in it, otherwise pan fry, that's a little different. Look for the brown color. Pan frying is 3 to 4 minutes on each side. Deep frying, 5 to 7. And depending on the size of fish that you're going, fillet that you're going to be cooking. When it's done, it should flake when broken apart.
End of story.
There you have it.
It's okay to check a piece too.
It is.
By the way.
And then you don't have to eat while you're.
It's like checking your noodles when you're cooking your noodles.
I throw them against the wall. Is that the way to check them? All right. That's it for this week. We'll be out of here. Hope you guys have a great weekend. For the Valley Outdoors, Abe and myself, Eric, we're done. See ya.